Herzlich willkommen zu deinem Podcast Unlimited Greatness. Hier geht es um das Thema Manifestation, Gesetz der Anziehung, Money Mindset und alles rund um ein erfolgreiches Leben und Business. Mein Name ist Beate Glöser, Mutter von zwei erwachsenen Kindern, seit über 20 Jahren glücklich verheiratet, Buchautorin, Keynote-Speakerin, Mindset- und Business-Coach, Unternehmerin und Gründerin der Greatness Academy. Ich liebe es, Menschen dabei zu helfen, ihre größten Träume zu verwirklichen, ein erfolgreiches Business aufzubauen, viel Geld zu verdienen und dabei auch noch eine Menge Spaß zu haben. Schön, dass du da bist und jetzt wünsche ich dir viel Spaß mit einer neuen Folge Unlimited Greatness.
So, ihr Lieben, heute ist es ein ganz, ganz besonderer Interview, denn ich habe heute jemanden hier, der ein internationaler Keynote-Speaker ist und ein Mentor. Und ich kenne ihn aus der Zeit von Bob Proctor. Er war sehr, sehr nah an seiner Seite. Und das Besondere ist, dass er heute hier ist und wir das erste Mal in Englisch sprechen. So, wir haben heute hier den Doug Dane. Doug, I am so happy that you are here. So it was a few words in German about you. And it's so, so exciting for me.
Well, I'm happy too. I should have studied my German last night. I might have done a better job. I'll talk slow English.
Yeah, it will be very nice. And Doug has a new book, and I love the book. Yes, when you see it on YouTube. So if you just listen to this, have a look on YouTube. It's called Mistaken Identity, and it's so good title. So let's talk about this, Doug. Yeah. What about the why did you write this book, and what's the most important thing you could tell us?
Well, gosh, in some ways it's such a long story. In the context, it took me a long time to figure it out. I guess it was about 8 years ago. I happened just recently, when I was finishing the book off, I was looking back on old journals and stuff, and I found it was about 8 years ago that I wrote down this concept of mistaken identity, you know. And I guess what I realized for me initially, going through what I went through as a young child, I had a very, you know, very traumatic, violent, abusive childhood in this violent alcoholic home, and there was all kinds of forms of abuse and witnessing violence. And of course, there's fallout from that kind of a childhood that you bring forward into your life. And so, of course, I failed in lots of different areas, struggled, of course, in relations, but most importantly, how I felt about myself on the inside. On the outside, I became a really good actor. It looked like I was happy, and it looked like I was doing well. And I did learn to do well in business, so I was at least financially successful. But I didn't like myself. I didn't feel good about myself. I suffered from anxiety and depression, ill health. I had a lot of problems, and I just didn't feel right about myself because of how I felt towards myself, you know. And what I realized, it was actually, you know, starting to work with Bob Proctor, I didn't know, and very few people do, I found out, that I have the ability to control my thinking, and that I did not know that my mind is like a machine, and my mind directs my brain and my nervous system. In other words, it directs how I think and feel and act. So I didn't know that. So I discovered that. And then, you know, there's a part of the story where the story came out, you know, all this violence and stuff. But what I realized was, when I started working with Bob and starting to really understand my self-image or my opinion of myself, I was mistaken about myself. You know, I had a lot of mistaken beliefs. You know, I just kept asking myself, what's wrong with me? Because I could feel like it felt like something was wrong. And I kept going, what's wrong with me? I never questioned what's wrong with what I believe, or what's wrong with how I was raised. I just thought there was something wrong with me because I carried that for so many years in my life. And so mistaken identity just simply means that we see ourselves a certain way. And I think pretty much everybody, for the most part, until they discover this, is mistaken about themselves. They have mistaken beliefs. They've been following rules that just aren't in alignment with who we are, or they're not even true, in fact, you know. And very early on, when we were little, we got judged. Our parents, we saw them judging each other and judging other people. And then when they started to, condition us to follow the rules, if we didn't get the rules right, if we were a bad boy or a bad girl, or we didn't follow the rules, we got punished, we got criticized, and we got judged. And then we started judging ourselves at a very young age. And all of our judgment towards ourselves was based on how everybody else saw us. Mm. And so we grew up with this mistaken identity. And I realized most people, you know, and I've talked to thousands of people now about this, and pretty much everybody I talk to just has a distorted view of themselves. If you're negative or critical towards yourself in any way that doesn't make you feel good, you have a mistaken identity. It's good to be, it's good to look at your strengths and your weaknesses, but you shouldn't feel badly about it. Like, that's just wrong. And that's where it kind of came from.
Wow. And it's like when you told about this, it's like everybody has it. Yeah, it's everybody has the wrong or mistaken identity, and also the paradigm, like to have the look at what is wrong, not to have the look at what is right, just what is wrong with me, with the others, with the reality situation, right?
Definitely.
And how would you say is, you said already about the thinking, but how would you say people who maybe didn't think about the all we think and thinking into results, what would you say how to change this mistaken identity?
Well, that's why I wrote this book.
I think so.
Well, the book, I never wanted to write a book. What I wanted to do was to help people duplicate what I was able to do. So, you know, for the first 39 years of my life, I suffered a lot. And my second marriage had failed. I wrecked it. I mean, watching what I saw in my family as far as relationships go and men and fathers, I had a real distorted view. And I went for counseling for the marriage. Who became a mentor, she saw there must have been something in my background. I blocked it all out. Mm-hmm. So in the very beginning, she goes, you know, you're struggling in your life. If you want to improve your future, you better take a look at your past, because I didn't have a lot of memories of my past. So I went digging and investigating. I hired an investigator and I talked to teachers, social workers. I got all my records from my adoption. I got all the records from when I was, you know, in and out of foster homes. I got police reports. I met the detectives. The detective on the case, I was sexually abused for 2 years in a ring of pedophiles, 13 through 15. So I met the detective that investigated that case. He was at my door when I was 15 years old, when I got returned from the kidnapping. I got kidnapped at 15. And I put this whole story together, and then it explained why I felt so lousy about myself. And so then I went public. I wrote it in a national newspaper here in Canada, and then it was on television. And then all these people started coming to go, how did you go from that to where you are now? Because you could tell from the story and the TV show that I had really begun to let it all go. And the idea, by telling my story, what it didn't normalize what happened to me, but it normalized me. I felt more normal. I wasn't just the only one. Mm. Anyway, all these people kept coming to me. I was speaking and people would contact me. And then, you know, working with Bob at the Proctor Gallagher Institute, working with you know, thousands of coaches and consultants around the world and their customers and their clients. They said, I've talked to thousands of people. I couldn't tell you how I did it. Like, I knew what I did to go from there to here and beyond and keep getting better. But I couldn't tell you how to do it. And so the book is more of a handbook, meaning that I take you through a process over 30 short chapters. Each chapter is like literally a 5-minute read. It's 3 to 4 pages. It's not a long book. And in each chapter, I tell my story a bit, and then I give you a key principle or a key step to take. And then I give you an action step. I get you to move into action. And the idea behind the book is you go through the 30 chapters over 30 days or 60 days. And that's why I wrote the book. I wanted to be able to tell people how I could do it or how they could do it. And, you know, because you can only talk to so many people, you run out of time. So I didn't want to write a book, but there's a message, and this is the messenger to get the message out of how to do it. So it's a duplicatable process that I went through, and that's why I did it. I want people to, when I first started working with Bob and I told him the story, he said, Doug, just let it go. I go, Bob, it's not that simple. He goes, okay, Doug, whatever you say. And he kept telling me, just let it go, let it go. And one of the chapters is called Let It Go, where I tell the story. Wow. And he goes, Doug, you're making it so complicated. Like, it's not hard. It's not complicated. You're dragging this out. It's taking you way too long. Just let it go. I go, Bob, it's not that. Okay. And you know what? He was right. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to put together a way to change your mind that you could let go of your victim mentality, or you could let go of your suffering fast and easy. And we just finished a month-long process. I had about 140 people reading the book and doing the exercises over 40 days in an observational trial. Where they were following the prescription. The book is very directive and instructive, and they were following it. And you should see the change that are taking place in people fast, because they were open to the idea that it didn't have to be simple. When Bob said it's simple and just let it go, I was not open to that idea. Because by that time, I was 51 when I first met him, and I dragged it, that story around for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
But you did.
I did.
Yeah. It's so good that you wrote this book. I already ordered it, but it's not here yet.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it in also in German?
Not it hasn't been translated yet, but we've had lots of requests. The book is... we just launched on Tuesday, and the book is doing really, really well. And so, of course, we're getting requests for people. I talked to a lady today. Can you put it in Spanish? And we've had a number of people ask for translation requests, which we definitely will get to. But for now, it's in English.
Okay. Yeah. What is the dark today? How you think today about yourself?
I like myself.
Oh, it's so good.
I remember Bob saying, he goes, I don't have a lot of time. I'm a busy guy and I don't have a lot of friends because relationships take work. He said, but I really like hanging out with myself. You know, I really enjoy my time. And I say it in the book that one of the chapters is called Why Don't You Love Me? And it's about loving yourself. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, if you love yourself and you love your life, you'll meet the love of your life. And that person might be you. Mm-hmm. So I really like myself, and I'm quite content in my own skin. I had a real skin problem on my face because of some of the anxiety. He said, Doug, I don't know if you know that in German how they would say it, but he said, Doug, you're letting people bother you. I go, no, I'm not. He goes, yes, you are. He says, you're letting people get under your skin. So if you let somebody bug you, we say you're letting them get under your skin. Yeah.
Yeah, understand.
And he said, literally, go look in the mirror, because my skin was red, like really red and blotchy. And it was true. And so if I showed you a before and after photo of me now versus a few years ago, you'd see a noticeable difference. And it was because I was letting things bother me. And so I mentioned judgment earlier. The first chapter of the book is called Stop Judging. And so I was very judgmental towards myself. You know, I was really hard on myself. And I suppose I had justification. I had lots of evidence from my mistakes in my life to show you that I should be hard on myself. And so I stopped judging myself. Mm. I started by stopping judging others. I just, you know, again, Bob gave me so many lessons. He just said, Doug, stop thinking about yourself and you won't find anything wrong with yourself. He said, go help other people. And so I just turned my heart and my love and my energy towards other people and put all my attention into others. So I had no time to think about what was wrong with me. So I just practiced not judging other people. That became a habit. And so because I was in the habit of not judging others or other things, it wasn't a habit for me to judge myself. And I freed myself.
Wow. This
emotional prison of judgment, you know? So anyway, life is good. I'm the calmest I've ever been. And I feel good with myself. I like myself. And then now life gets better. And you know this too, the work that you're doing and, you know, with the people that you're helping, when you start to see the truth about yourself, you start to see more opportunities of what you're capable of. Like, you know, I've got this book now, right? I wouldn't have been able to write the book unless I had changed my view on myself.
Yeah.
And now my picture's way beyond the book. The book is just a small goal.
Mm-hmm.
I got a massive goal that this book is going to help me achieve, you know, but I can see that now because I see myself differently.
Yeah. And you are someone who are really going for your goals. So, you have a goal and so you go and go and go and you do stuff and you are very brave. So you go through. Was it always this way or did you?
You know, it's interesting because people kind of ask me some questions about before. Ever since I got into business, one thing I did want to do always, and I guess it was the integrity in me. I always wanted to perform well, to prove to myself that I could do well. But more importantly, I didn't think it was right for me to, and I really wanted to help people. So I didn't feel it was right for me to offer you help unless I'd done it myself. So I was always the kind of guy that would do it first and then show others. And that's probably one of the reasons why the book took so long, because I didn't feel right about writing or speaking until I had this button down and I'd helped a lot of people with what's in the book, you know? I think because of that, I've always pursued, like you and you know, the people that are watching, you know, whoever's watching right now, you all know there's this pull in us. There's a thing driving us, pulling us forward, sometimes pushing us forward, you know, getting us out of bed in the morning, scaring us. There's a pull on us. I don't think you can ignore it. If you do ignore it, I think then you compromise yourself and then you get into conflict with yourself and then you think there's something wrong with you. And so I think it's important that we pursue whatever dream we have. I don't even think we have dreams. I think we're just meant to do something in the world. And that's what pulls on us. And then we dream ideas on how to get there. So I've always been a goal achiever. But the other thing that I learned, again, I didn't know this, this mind that directs my brain and nervous system, I didn't know that I had this automatic built-in GPS, this goal-achieving machine called my mind, that if I give it a target and I just keep my eye on the road, it will show me how to get there. I had no idea that's how the mind worked, you know? So when I discovered that, I thought, I mean, I was already a goal achiever, but now I'm really effective at goals because I figured if I got this machine and it's automatic and it's creative and it works according to certain rules, like all machines do, I figured I better figure out how the machine works. You know, it's like, you know, my iPhone I'm holding here. It's a machine. It's a device. Right. And now we all know how to use them now, but it can do great things if I know how to operate it. And so I think learning that really accelerated my ability to achieve goals faster and bigger. Wow. And I trust it. I trust that if I give my mind a target, it will seek it out like a missile.
Yeah. I have one question because I am by myself very interested in this. You work with Bob Proctor very, very close. Mm-hmm. So I also know you. I really learned a lot from you. I can say it also that you are really like so passionate. So with all the material you talk about, and you also live what you are talking. It's like not a theory. I always felt like you walk the talk.
Yes.
How was it for you to work with Bob so close? Was it I don't know, so like for the beginning, so oh my God, with Bob, or was it like normal?
It was interesting because I often thought about that. So I met him in 2014, so I guess that's coming on 9 years now. It was over 9 years ago now. And he's been gone for a year or so. When you first meet him, so I went to this event in Los Angeles. There was only 14 people in the room. You had to pay a lot of money to get to work with him. And you sat on a stool with him for a couple hours and he helped you. He coached you, right? Mm-hmm. But very quickly, you just felt comfortable with him, you know, mm-hmm. because he is probably one of the purest people I've ever met. Kind, generous, non-judgmental. He's probably the least judgmental person I ever met. I very rarely ever heard him say anything, you know, bad about anything or anyone. And if it was bad, it was like, you know, it was minor, right? Mm-hmm. And so I became very comfortable with him fairly quickly. And then of course just because of his age and his wisdom, he has this kind of fatherly, or, you know, a lot of people say he's like my grandfather, my virtual grandfather. I've heard that from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But he was just a regular guy, you know, and he lived like an hour down the road from me here. I'm just outside of Toronto. And he was just a regular guy. I remember we first started doing events together, and it was just him and I doing an event. And here he was, you know, slugging the boxes. He had a bunch of boxes in his arms. He goes, "Doug, I'm a good follower. You tell me what to do and I'll do what you tell me to do." You know, he was just a regular guy with a really big passion to help people. And I think I related to him and he related to me because I think he said on a number of occasions, "You're a lot like I am," because I had a real heart to want to just help people. And so I've emulated some of his qualities, but some of his qualities I already possessed as well. So it just, you know, it was just, he was just a guy I worked with and we had a lot of fun, and he was just a wise, kind man.
Mm, wow. Yeah. But sometimes we think like about so people who are so far away, they are so different, they are like perfect. And you say what I always experience, people who are very successful, they are also just normal people.
Just normal people. I remember, so Bob always said, "Doug, don't react, respond. You know, if you react, you're out of control." Well, I laughed, this is early on. We were doing an event and he couldn't get his PowerPoint slides working, or the computer hooked up to the projector properly, and he starts swearing. He was getting frustrated. I go, "Bob, don't react, respond." And but he was human too. We all have our challenges because we're human. So,
yeah, I think like 2 years ago, I would also think about you the same, and to talk now you on this interview, so it's also now normal because you are also like a man, and you are very kind, and you tell about your book, and you share your wisdom with other people, want to help another people. So thank you for this.
You're welcome. It's I'd like to pass a quote along to all of you that Bob passed along to me, and he lived by it, and I live by it, and it's interesting because I have people say they're uncomfortable to speak to me. I go, I don't know why you'd be uncomfortable to speak with me. But Bob said that he quoted a guy named Howard Benau. He said, Doug, don't drink your own bathwater. You're going to get sick. And what he meant was, he says, don't read your fan mail. You know, if people, you know, credit you for their results or success, it's not you that did it. They did it. Just thank them. But do not let your ego run away in this industry, because it can. And he used to say, I know where all the dead and buried are in this industry. They come and they go. He said, don't drink your own bathwater. So he was very humble. And I've always been fairly humble, but I keep remembering that quote. And he said it to me many, many times. I keep telling myself, this is not about me.
Wow.
So.
This is so good. This is so good. And this is also so good about the identity I have about me. What you said now. So I would say, buy the book. Order the Mistaken Identity book from Doug, because it's really, I'm very excited about this, and I know it's great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think I did too. I put together, you know, when you get the book, you'll see in the introduction of the book, if you want to go through the book with me. So I've set up a way where you can go through the book with me as you're reading it. And you can go to my website, DougDane.com. But I didn't want people, like, I got a lot of books here, and I didn't want it to be a shelf, I call it a shelf help book. You buy a book, you read a little bit, nothing happens, you go buy another book, and you put the other book on the shelf and you go get another one. I didn't want it to be that way. I wanted the book to actually work. And so I want to, you know, I offer to go along with people through the book while they're reading it too. So.
Well, thank you. You put the link to order the book. And I think because I did it, you can also get like a workbook when you register on the site.
And listen, if you're watching this lady, and if you've been following her, I gotta tell you, you know, she is as good as it gets in this industry helping people. But you've got a beautiful way about you. I remember when we first met, and it was virtual like this, unfortunately, and you just have a beautiful way about you, and you're kind and you're humble, and you got a big heart, and you have a real strong desire to help people, but you're also very good at it. And the reason you're good at it is because you walk the talk too. And you get results because you're learning how your mind can direct you and improve your life. And I know you're helping a lot of people and passing this information along. You were talking about the walk the talk. I don't think it's right for me to guide you up Mount Everest if I've not gone there first. And you are a wonderful guide. And if you're looking to find your way, you should follow this lady.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you that you are here. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate this. And yeah. Now I say a few words in German, okay?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Maybe you want to say something to the people. The last words from you, and then I say something in German.
Yeah, I guess I would say this, that I think you know, with in the personal development, the self-help industry, and with you know, the internet and social media, I think I think too many people are focusing on the wrong thing. Don't try to fix yourself. You don't need to fix yourself. Just be yourself, you know? And my book, I design it in such that I just want you to meet your true self. And I want you to be yourself. And I say, don't try to fix yourself. Just let the book work on you. And you're going to love who you meet. So that's it. Don't try to fix yourself. Just be yourself.
Thank you so much. And you know what? Now I was thinking I wanted to say the last words in German because it's more comfortable for me. So I decided otherwise. And I say in English also, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Share this podcast with another people if you did like it. Share it with people who you think it's helpful for another people. And make contact to Dag, order the book if you want it. I think it's a very great book. I did it. I ordered it already. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So bye-bye.
Danke für deine Zeit und dass du bis zum Schluss gehört hast. Wenn es dir gefallen hat und es dir geholfen hat, bitte teile den Podcast gerne auf Social Media und mit deinen Freunden. Du würdest uns auch helfen, wenn du dir ein paar Minuten Zeit nimmst und uns eine Bewertung schreibst. Mein größter Wunsch ist es, dieses Wissen an möglichst viele Menschen weiterzugeben, um so das Leben ein Stück zu einem besseren und liebevolleren Ort zu machen. Wenn du etwas mit uns teilen möchtest oder mehr von uns hören magst, findest du uns auf Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn oder auf unserer Webseite. Die entsprechenden Links findest du in den Shownotes. Danke, dass du da bist und ich freue mich auf dich bei der nächsten Folge. Deine Beate.